Wing TV with Victor Thorne and Lisa Giuliani. The revolution is being televised.
Hello, it's Wednesday, May 11th, and you're watching Wing TV. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing TV. It's now day number 5 since Alex Jones has refused to answer any questions about censorship. That leaves his credibility level at zero, his cowardice level at 100%. We're going to keep on you, Alex. Answer the questions. Now, before we touch upon what our main topic is today, those who attended the Bilderberg 2005 conference, I'm going to touch upon a few announcements and news stories. First of all, we're going to be on the radio tonight, 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time on Rick Biasatis' Angry White Male radio show out of Chicago.
And that information's right on our homepage.
Right. Now, he doesn't stream his show, so the only way you'll be able to hear it is if you're actually in that area listening on AM. Also, we've been urging a lot of people, everybody, to make it to New York City this September 11th. Let your voices be heard. Let us have strength in numbers. And we're glad to hear that Chris Emery, who is a member of the Oklahoma City Bombing Independent Commission, is going to make that trip. And he's kind of setting an example now for everybody else.
Right.
So we're going to be there 4 months from today, September 11th at high noon, right down there in Battery Park at Ground Zero. If you can, make it out there, bus, train, automobile, hitchhiking, however you can do it, get out there. It's going to be an informal event.
Join us and help us speak truth to power on September 11th.
Exactly. Also, we want to report that we've been getting a lot of emails from people now who say that they're going to drop out of their subscription to GCN. That's the Genesis Communications Network, because they're getting very fed up that nobody there at the station, including Ted Anderson or Alex Jones, is answering the questions why they're censoring their archives.
One guy even emailed the sales office, plus Ted Anderson and Alex Jones, and hasn't received any response from any of them. When you email Alex, you get the auto-generated robot response, but no one's answering the questions, and people are getting very angry.
Right, and what this is doing is hurting the entire network.
Right.
It's hurting the ownership. It's hurting the subscribers, and it's also hurting mostly the radio show hosts, because they're having to suffer because Alex won't answer why.
This is very self-serving and defeatist.
Right.
And you're hurting a lot of other people because you have to make your point that you can ignore people and get away with it.
Right. That you're above any questioning.
Yeah, you're not above questioning, Alex, and you're making a lot of people angry, and these people made you what you are today.
Yeah, answer their questions, Alex. Now, before we get on to Bilderberg, what do you think of this, Lisa? Today, United Airlines announced that they're going to default on their pension plans for all of their employees. So what do you think if you're 59 years old, you've worked at United for 30 years, you have 3 or 5 years to go until retirement, all of a sudden they're like, well, the pension plan's gone. They pull the rug out from under your feet. It's incredible.
I would think I'd be eating cat food in my old age. Yeah. That's what I would think.
And what's happening, it's not clear yet whether the government's going to step in and honor this pension plan or pick up the slack, whatever, but it's reminiscent of what's going on out in the Southwest, where the government's going to pledge $1 billion to the hospitals out there that can't pay for all the illegal aliens.
So we continue giving the illegals a free skate through America.
Right. So what's happening here is, why doesn't everyone just give their entire paycheck to the government? Then the government can cover everybody's bills. I mean, this is pure socialism, which is taking place in this country, where the government's honoring pension plans, the government's paying for the illegal aliens.
What are we going to be asked to do next? Vacate our homes to allow the illegals to live in them, too? Yeah.
And United Airlines has to get their act together so that they don't default on this. And it's just amazing that how much of a role the government is taking in our lives. Another thing, China has announced that they're seriously considering revaluing their currency, the yuan.
More good news.
And what this means is that goods that are shipped into this country are going to be more expensive. Well, with rising fuel prices, which affect everything, inflation's already becoming a serious concern. And with the Chinese currency revalued, it's just going to push everything up even higher in price. Finally, how about this mayor out in Spokane, Washington? His name's Jim West.
Yeah.
And he's in a lot of hot water now for this cronyism, for hiring some of his gay lovers or potential gay lovers. Also, he's on all these message boards and chat rooms.
It makes you wonder if anybody in Washington's straight. I think Victor and I are like the last of a dying breed.
Yeah. I mean, when we hear all this talk about Jeff Gannon and the GOP gay sex boy ring in Washington, and now we have this mayor out in Spokane, Washington. It starts to make you wonder that a lot of these people are really on the dark side, and we got to question what they're up to.
They're somewhere.
Yeah. Now, let's get to Bilderberg 2005, yeah, which was held outside of Munich, about 40 miles outside of that city. And the list was released yesterday, all of the attendees.
It's pretty long, and it's pretty impressive.
Here's the brief overview. 134 total attendees. Of those 134, 31 of them were from the United States. That's roughly about 23%. So one of every four people there was from the U.S.,
mm-hmm,
and there were people from about 25 different countries, roughly. Now, before we get, and we're going to go into some specifics here. Lisa has, she's been researching who the people from the United States are. But first, we have to clarify something. Everyone thinks that the people at the Bilderbergs are actually the ones who rule the world. They're at the top of the pyramid. Well, actually, they're one step below. These are representatives,
right,
of the people who run the world. Nonetheless, they're still very high ranking. And, you know, other than Kissinger and Rockefeller, most of the people send their representatives to do,
right,
their dirty work for them.
They're like the elite flunkies.
Right. So let's look at who runs the world or who's represented there. First of all, naturally, it would have to be the banks.
Right.
You know, without money, you can't make the world go round. So we had representatives there this year from Goldman Sachs, the Deutsche Bank, Rothschild Europe, the president of the Federal Reserve here in the United States, also the European Central Bank, mm-hmm, the IMF, that's the International Monetary Fund, J.P. Morgan,
right,
the Rockefellers, and also the World Bank. How about the media? Do you think they were there?
You bet. Newsweek, the Herald Tribune, Time Inc.
Yeah. Now, you wouldn't know the media was there if you looked at your newspapers or you turned on your TV, but they were well represented. There was Le Figaro, Der Standard, mm-hmm, the Washington Post, as Lisa said, Die Zeit from Germany, Time, the International Herald Tribune, the Financial Times, The Economist, Newsweek magazine. A lot of people from the media there. What did we hear, though?
Zero.
Nothing. Also, there are other figures. Big Oil. Got a Big Oil at the Bilderbergs.
Of course.
British Petroleum. He also had Shell, or Royal Dutch Shell. How about people from the universities so they can brainwash all the kids?
Right.
They were representative. The Carnegie Endowment and other, mm-hmm, think tanks were there. Corporations. Got up the multinationals.
Yeah. First Hersey's Inc.
Yeah. Coca-Cola. Fiat was there. Ford. Daimler Chrysler. Nokia. ThyssenKrupp from Germany. So, you know, international corporations were represented. How about some big names?
Hmm.
Henry Kissinger.
David
Rockefeller. Vernon Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
Nathan Staronsky, who might be the most influential person there. He's not a household name, but I think we're going to cover him a lot more tomorrow. And he's right now the biggest influence on the Bush presidency that there is. And he was represented. Also, Paul Wolfowitz.
Right. All of our neocon warmongers were amply represented there.
Yeah. James Wolfeson, who was just replaced by Wolfowitz as the president of the World Bank. Also, Etienne Davignon, who was, what, the vice president, I think, or the chairman this year of the Bilderberg meeting. Richard Holbrooke was there.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, we had people from government there. Got to have those two, the politicians. So you had the Council on Foreign Relations members were there.
The governor of Virginia, Mark Warner.
Yep. NATO was there. People from the U.S. Army were there. The Moscow School of Political Studies, Virginia governor, as Lisa said. Also, the president of the European Commission and also an ambassador from the European Union.
Right. You had people who have either worked before or are working now with the NSC, the State Department, the Pentagon, all there.
Yeah. Now, let's go over the people that were there from the United States. So, we're going to just list the names for you. Some of them are household names, but we'll say where they're from. Lisa's going to fill in some of the blanks, and we'll start from the back. How's that? We had Fareed Zakaria, and he's from the editor of Newsweek.
Yep, he's from the U.S. He's the editor of Newsweek International. We had Paul Wolfowitz, president-designate to the World Bank. He's also the founder of the PAC and a key neocon warmonger.
Right, everybody knows Paul Wolfowitz, and now president of the World Bank, who replaced James Wolfensohn.
Mm-hmm. Mark Warner, the governor of Virginia, there's speculation that Mark Warner is going to make a presidential bid in 2008.
Now, there's a lot of validity to this because, mm-hmm, in 1992, Bill Clinton attended the Bilderberg meeting. They trotted him around, did the dog and pony show. Guess who became president in 1992? Bill Clinton, of course. Also, last year we had the vice presidential candidate, John Edwards. Mm-hmm. He went to 2 Bilderberg meetings in a row. They made him Kerry's vice presidential nominee. And even though they didn't win, they gave him his marching orders. They gave him his game plan and said, well, here's what you're going to do. You guys are going to take the fall. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Who else do we have here? A guy named John Vinicor.
Right. He's a senior correspondent with the International Herald Tribune, another media guy.
Okay. Dennis Ross.
Director of the Washington Institute for Near East Policy. He's former NSC, State Department, and Pentagon.
Right, and this is one of those think tanks that's very influential. He's definitely a neocon. We have Judith Rodin.
She's president of the Rockefeller Foundation.
Now, you see, just listen to all these names. And even though you might know the particular names, remember where they're coming from and who they're representative.
Right.
She's representing the Rockefeller Foundation. Okay, now.
Of course, she's accompanied by David Rock himself.
Himself.
He's member of the International Council of J.P. Morgan Chase, founder and honorary chairman of the American Society, the CFR, and the Trilateral Commission.
Right. The I guess, unappointed king of America.
Right. Just call him God, too.
Yeah. Also, Richard Pearl.
Right.
Another neocon, his...
The Prince of Darkness.
The Prince of Darkness, that's what I was trying to think of. And he's
American
one of the...
Enterprise Institute, PNAC. He's a supporter of the Likud Party and a key person behind U.S. policy in Iraq.
Exactly. Now, how about Norman Perlstein? What's he do?
He's the editor-in-chief of Time, Inc.
Now, Time Magazine. Time Magazine is there. We also said Newsweek was there.
Right.
We're waiting for their latest editions to come out to give us a full rundown on what happened at Bilderberg. You think we should hold our breath?
No.
Okay. Frank Pearl. Who's
he's
he?
He's the chairman and CEO of Perseus, Inc. Perseus is a merchant bank. It's also a private equity fund management company. So I guess he's a pretty important wheeler-dealer.
Yeah. And I wrote down some things about also Frank Pearl. He's CFR, Bilderberg. He's of the Rockefeller Foundation, also the Brookings Institute. And another person in Perseus is Richard Holbrook, who is a UN ambassador and also in the CFR. So
right.
More and more ties together with all these folks. Let's see who else. I've got to go to the page before that. How about Kenneth Melman?
He's the chairman of the Republican National Committee.
Now, something I noticed was last year at the Bilderbergs, both the RNC and the DNC were represented, both Republicans and the Democrats. This year, the Democrats weren't there. I don't know what that tells us, but it's kind of odd. Okay, how about Mark Medish?
He's with Akin Gump, Strauss, Hauer, and Field. That's a law firm, and he's also with the U.S. National Security Council, and he was a special advisor to Clinton for Russia and the CIS.
Okay, Jessica Matthews.
Hold on. I'm turning my page here. Okay. She's president of a Washington think tank called the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. She also served on the NSC and with the State Department under the Carter administration.
Okay. William Luddy, another one of the big neocons.
Okay. This guy is very controversial. He was Deputy Undersecretary of Defense for Near Eastern South Asian Affairs. And he was involved in digging up the intel to support Bush's war in Iraq.
Right. Okay, Michael Ledeen.
Oh, I got to tell you, too. He was with the Office of Special Planning, the secret
OSP.
Pentagon outfit. Right.
Now, all of these groups that Lisa's mentioning, these are all very strong neocon groups. So keep that in mind. They have names that sound, you know, they're not names that everybody knows of, but these are the neocons at work here. These are the ones influencing our foreign policy.
There's a lot more information on all these people and their ties that interweave, but I just jotted down some notes for each one. Henry Kissinger was next.
Right. Well, first, Michael Ledeen from the American Enterprise Institute. This might be, according to Michael Collins Piper from the American Free Press, the most influential think tank or group in Washington, D.C., and this guy here is one of their representatives,
a lot of
these neocons.
He's a very influential neocon. He was involved in the Iran-Contra scandal. He was with the Pentagon, the State Department, and the NSC. You're starting to see the same agency names, department names over and over again.
Right. Well, we also have two people that are there every year. See, we follow these names and see who the recurring members are. These people are here every year, Henry Kravis and Marie Jose Kravis. They're from think tanks. One's the founding partner of Kohlberg, Kravis Roberts and Company. And the woman is from the Hudson Institute, a senior member.
Right.
So these are, again, them nasty think tanks in D.C. that work behind the scenes to actually influence what happens before the scenes. Now, of course,
Henry
Kissinger.
Big men.
And I don't know if anything needs
war criminal.
Yeah.
For starters,
can't step in three or four different countries in the world because he's afraid to be arrested for his war crimes, that the charges are pending against him. Let's go over Vernon Jordan.
He's over there. And over and over.
Yeah, he's there every single year. Guy named John Keane from the U.S. Army. Have the War Machine representative, of course. James Johnson, vice chairman of Perseus. We actually noticed that there's three or four different people from Perseus there. That's the company. Punch it into Google. Perseus LLC.
That's that merchant bank.
Yeah, exactly. Guy named Ellen Hubbard. He's the assistant president for economic policy. We have Richard Holbrook, very famous in Democratic circles. Richard Haass, president, Council on Foreign Relations. Probably the most influential secret society, even though it's not really secret, but they are American foreign policy and have been since the early 1900s. Donald Graham, chairman and CEO of the Washington Post, the paper of record in the Beltway. Mm-hmm. Timothy Geithner, president of the Federal Reserve Bank in New York.
Starting to get
money.
An evil vibe out of all this?
William Ford, president of Ford Motor Company. How's that? Martin Feldstein, president and CEO of the National Bureau of Economic Research. I wish they'd research a little more and bring our deficit down, inflation down, gas prices down.
Let me get back to Richard Pearl for a second,
okay.
Because some people might not know this, that he's director of the Jerusalem Post, and he also profits financially by influencing our U.S. government policy.
Yeah. And he's he's also been involved in a lot of spying against the U.S. government for Israel.
Right.
And this guy's as shady as anybody there. He's at Bilderberg every single year. And I can't think of anyone right now that's worse than him.
We didn't want to just give him like a little blow-by mention.
Yeah.
He's a really dangerous guy.
Yeah, they don't call him the Prince of Darkness for nothing. We also had a guy named Thomas Donlin. He's a partner in O'Melveny & Myers. And this is something interesting, that he used to be the executive vice president of Fannie Mae. Mm. And this year was the first year in many years that Fannie Mae didn't have an attendee at the Bilderberg meeting. And Fannie Mae is one of the ones that takes a lot of the home mortgages for the government. And with this big housing boom that we have right now, this housing bubble, it's surprising that Fannie Mae isn't there. Mm. And last but not least, a gentleman named Timothy Collins, who's a senior managing director and CEO of Ripplewood Holdings, LLC. And this guy now, he's a member of the Trilateral Commission, graduated from Yale University, of course, home of Skull and Bones, and is also from a financial institute, Lazard Frères, who's also quite well represented at Bilderberg.
It's pretty disgusting.
So, now, a lot of the names we mentioned aren't names that are mentioned every night on CBS or aren't in your newspapers, but we see the link, the ties between the banks, the media, the big oil, the corporations, the government, and these other think tanks and so forth.
The foundations.
Yeah, that's who runs the world. And I was talking to a gentleman today, and he's in private industry, telling him about that. And I said, did you hear anything about Bilderberg? He didn't know what Bilderberg was.
Right. And since these people determine global policy, you know, for different countries, for all the countries involved, this affects you and me and the guy who didn't know anything. And we have a right to know what's going on at these meetings.
Bilderberg's determining who the next president's going to be. They were the ones that determined when Margaret Thatcher was going to take her fall. Mm-hmm. They're the ones that determined when we actually went into our war with Iraq. A lot of people thought it would be earlier. But at the Bilderberg meeting before our war with Iraq, they determined when it was going to happen.
Yeah, Mark Warner might be somebody to watch. A lot of the Democrats think that he might be more palatable than Hillary.
Or maybe a vice presidential candidate. Mm-hmm. You know, that's another thing. So, that'll bring in the southern vote for the Democrats if Hillary has that northern liberal elite section. So, these are things we have to keep in mind. We actually did post this list yesterday. I think I'm going to leave it up there for one day more. It'll be under the world events section of our news updates right on the Wing TV homepage.
Go in there. Look up some of these names, find out more, familiarize yourself with these people and what they're involved with, what companies they're tied to.
What countries they're from. And see, you probably can't see this, but what we did is we took a lot of notes on these, scribbled things down, and started seeing all the various ties. Now, a man that we mentioned, which just passed over, Nathan Sharansky. This guy is very influential because, in George Bush's latest State of the Union address in January 2005, this year, he quoted an individual, Nathan Sharansky, and he said later to the media, he said, if you want a glimpse of how I think about foreign policy, read Nathan Sharansky's book. So we're going to talk about this guy tomorrow.
You know who I didn't see on that list?
Who?
Bush.
Yeah.
And he was in Munich, so there's a good chance he was there.
Yeah, he might have slid in the back door, made an appearance.
We'll have to ask Jim Tucker.
Yeah. Now, Jim Tucker's more than likely going to publish his article within the next few days or so. And he's been representing the American Free Press there for decades now, covering this. And it's really because of Jim Tucker, his glaring exposure on the Bilderbergs, that they had to actually even admit that they existed. So we can't give enough credit to him and everyone else who's been covering this event.
You can just imagine how they feel when their whole list comes out on the internet after all the effort they go to keep this totally secretive and away from public scrutiny.
Yeah. But, I mean, in their minds, though, they're above questioning. Kind of like Alex Jones. You know, the similarities between these individuals is striking. And we hope that you keep, I mean, today on Alex's show, somebody called in again today, asked about 9/11 on trial.
Hung up.
Alex hung up on him.
He did it again. Lord censor.
Yeah. So anyways, we'll be back tomorrow. We're going to talk about Nathan Sharansky. And also, we're going to ask a question to everybody out there. Do you think George Bush will go down in history as the worst president America has ever had? Now, he has a lot of competition from Woodrow Wilson and a few others, but let us know your thoughts now.
Email us and tell us what you think about the answer to that.
Is he the worst president this country will ever have? We'll be back tomorrow on Wing TV. Thank you so much for tuning in. And folks, keep your eyes open. There's a lot going on.
See you tomorrow.
Let's go next to... Let's talk to Steve in Ohio. Steve, go ahead.
How you doing, Alex?
Good, sir.
Real quick, I got two things I want to talk about are very important, but I did want to say one thing. That Victor Thorne and Lisa Giuliani of WingTV.net did a beautiful job of doing that 9/11 on trial. Are you familiar with that?
Thanks for the call, sir. Sounds like the individual himself. Seriously, my broadcast is about serious issues, sir.